Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, welcome to the Bacon Smiles podcast. A little hyped up, ready to go. Going in hot, we're pumped. We saw the picture of Zoe, she's really excited. This is episode 58. Almost at 57, but that was last time.
Yeah, that was a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, as always, I'm Steve Patera, joined by my good friend
Evan Shaw Mumford.
That's right. We're ready to go. If you can tell, I'm a little pumped. It's because the Yankees won last night.
That's right. Going to be a good game tomorrow night. Good series coming
up. Yeah. It's going to be.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot.
Got my shirt ready.
Yeah.
If you're on Facebook Live, you can see it.
That's right. Red Sox fan is Evan.
That's right.
I'm a Yankees fan.
It was funny when you texted me last night. We're like, "Hey, can we do tomorrow night? Because the Yankees are on tonight." I almost texted back and said, "Yeah, that's a good idea. Red Sox are on. Oh, actually, they're in the ALCS." But works out anyway. Because
it's awesome. I mean, the divisional series starts tomorrow night. So excited about that. Yeah. So a couple things to get to real quick. I just wanted to say that this Saturday, October 6th, is meet and greet, fall meet and greet of the year. If you're interested in any of the details, I know I've talked about it 100 times. It's a men's event, which is awesome. Tons of food, tons of meat, because it's M-E-A-T, meat. Outlandish games, activities, and stuff like that. I feel like I've talked about it so much.
What's the weirdest game you guys have played in your memory, do you think?
Okay, so it's either toilet tossing.
Yeah.
That's one. Or having to ride a child's bicycle to carry water for your group, like in a cup.
Okay.
there's so many. Having to be like a human rickshaw for your team members. This is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Meat identification, simply because someone shouted the phrase, "Where do you get kangaroo meat?" That's right. We've eaten kangaroo before.
All right. Getting a little unruly.
We also did pie eating contests. We filled it with shepherd's pie and covered it with whipped cream.
That's weird. That's weird.
So you go in thinking it's going to be like a chocolate pie or something like that. That was good. And then the next one, like you said, we did two, right? The next one was baked beans. So baked beans covered in whipped cream. So it's just fun. It's a good time. Men can be men. And then a great guy, Father Skip, is our speaker this time, so he's going to do a great job. To go over the podcast, you had your one-year anniversary since the last time we did a podcast, so I'm kind of going to break down how your weekend went away. Then you got peer ministry training at St. Teresa of Calcutta. Yep. And then I had a youth group a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I also got to want to play a game together.
Okay. Cool.
Can't read my handwriting. And then you have a story in music followed by what's new in music.
Sure, sure.
St. Francis of Assisi is our saint of the day. And Luke 10, 1 through 12 is our daily readings. And then
news of the weird.
All right. So, 1 year married.
That's right.
How you feeling?
Good. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. We went to Martha's Vineyard for the weekend.
So how'd that go?
So it was perfect. We went we basically drove up Friday night, went to West Yarmouth, and then stayed at a hotel there. And then Saturday morning, took the ferry right into Martha's Vineyard and just spent the day walking around. We didn't bring the car over on the ferry or rent a car or scooter or anything. We just walked. But got to go to some beaches, walked over to, I'm trying to remember the name of the town. We just did a bunch of walking and sightseeing. And
okay.
It was very, very scenic. Jen had never been, and this was my second time, but first in several years. So.
Oh, awesome.
So it was nice to be back and just...
Yeah.
check it out.
Okay, and what did you do? What did a day look like?
So we got there around 11:30, checked into the Black Dog Tavern.
Ooh, fancy.
Which they didn't do lunch until 12:30, but people could go in and check in and
oh, cool.
requested a patio seat, and they got that all taken care of, so we got to have lunch out on the patio. And then we checked out a brewery that was in the next town over. So it was a little bit of a walk, but we went to go check out some shops, walked by the, if you've ever been to Martha's Vineyard, you've seen the flying merry-go-round, where, you know, merry-go-rounds normally have the poles go from top to bottom.
Yeah.
But, and it's probably been refined over the years, but back in the day, the horses would swing out. As you're riding on it, and then there were rings that you could try to catch, and the more of the rings that you have, and the different levels of rings that there are, you get points for it.
Nice.
So it's turned into also a cafe, but we walked by. It was closed by the time we got there, but it was pretty cool.
Yeah.
Then we walked along the shoreline, then walked back, had some dinner at a really nice. It was funny. Jen's looking on her phone trying to find a place for dinner, and by like 5 o'clock. Things are shutting down. It's off season.
Oh, yeah.
People are heading home. So we're like, well, where are we going to find a place to eat? And there was a place that was selling, like, slices of pizza and stuff like that.
Oh, okay.
Jen looks at her phone and goes, there's an Italian restaurant near here if you want to check that out. It's open late. I said, yeah, let's go check it out. We go walking by. We find it. It's you take this tiny stairwell up the side of this business, and then it's a restaurant on top of this other business. And we walk in, and there are curtains from floor to ceiling, very, very nice.
Oh.
People dressed in suits. I'm wearing jeans and a Lion King musical hoodie.
Nice.
Jen's wearing a nice shirt, but she's got jeans on that are torn.
Yeah,
and so
okay.
We stood out
Did they very nicely. Say-
So,
sir.
Right. So they're like, how many?
Yeah.
So as soon as we sat, we quickly, you know, I took off my sweater. I had a nicer t-shirt on underneath. And then Jen threw the napkin down on her pants. And
that's something I would say.
Yeah.
I'm wearing my fancy t-shirt.
I've got my fancy t-shirt, my more formal t-shirt.
Don't worry, I'm wearing my church shirt.
That's right. It's a decal tie. So, but once we got past the initial shock of it, the food was delicious, and
did they make you feel uncomfortable?
No, it was just, I think they were kind of, they didn't know what to expect, you know,
okay.
when they were asking our orders, you'd like to drink that, okay.
Yeah. Just, I'll have a cheeseburger.
Right. Would you like some wine, sir? No, I'll have some milk. Oh. Not going to get a big tip tonight, I see. So, but yeah, then we took the ferry back in, and it was a very nice day.
Awesome. That's awesome, dude. That's great. Now, so we were talking a little bit before the podcast. So it's been a year, and Zoe was at your wedding. We came a week old Zoe Rose.
And the funniest thing about that was we have pictures where first, you know, our photographer got a beautiful picture of you and Eva and Zoe in the pew, and Zoe's on your shoulders and barely able to keep her eyes open.
Yeah.
And then he managed to get a picture where during the service, Father Andy's talking, and Zoe made some sort of outcry, like just a little noise.
Yeah.
And Jen, who had not seen Zoe, but knew she was somewhere in a church, whips around, where's the baby? You know, Father Andy's up there doing his homily. Jen's just like, hold on, and looking around, sees the baby, and goes, ah! And we got a picture of her, like, just
that's
big smile on her
that's
face.
That's so great, because we had the complete opposite reaction. Our immediate reaction was, we're ruining everything.
No, Jen loved it. We loved it. And it made a great picture.
Yeah, and just awesome memory to think about. up. Like, just, you know, your beautiful day and my beautiful baby girl. Like, it's just, that's just an awesome memory to have. Super happy that we could be there, you know, because that was actually Zoe's due date. I was supposed to be in the wedding.
Right.
I wish I could have been up there standing with you, man. But Zoe came.
Yeah.
And it was just really awesome to be able to be a part of your day and thinking back, like, how much has, you know, come, you know? You guys were at Zoe's birthday party. We talked about that and everything. And just, like, just how much has happened in a year is awesome.
Well, just seeing her at the one-year-old birthday party, I was thinking, man, I'm feeling old, you know? It's been a year, but I've been married for almost a year now.
Yeah, you know? now you've been married a year. Yeah, it's just, it's crazy, right?
Yeah.
It's just time goes by. Man. All right, so peer ministry training. I wanted to talk a little bit about what goes into that. What is a peer minister? And I was a part of the program at St. Teresa of Calcutta for so long. I was a peer minister. You were a peer minister. And it's something that I really want to get started at Sacred Heart, but I need to kind of have kids get confirmed. So a peer minister is a kid who's been confirmed who comes back and helps out with the program. So someone who runs a youth group game, runs something in your class, helps out with confirmation class, but is also just a good example of what, you know, a good Catholic youth can be, which is important. We don't have enough of that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard. And some, you know, we don't expect them to be perfect.
Right.
But we expect them to be good Catholics, right?
Yeah. And one thing, too, that's really beneficial about them is we feel young. You know, we feel young and youthful.
Some days.
Right. But for some teens, they look at us and they think we're really old.
By
their standard.
It's all in perspective. Like, I am young to people that have been around longer than me. I don't want to say old people.
Right.
Oh, people who have been around, who have lived.
Right. So to have a peer who's involved in the youth ministry program and helping out with classes, helping out in the youth groups, it helps connect the lessons better to the confirmation students.
Yeah.
Knowing that someone that they see in their hallways at school is there and they can talk to them.
Well, and a huge part of my story that I share, like what helped me turn everything around, was my interest in why peer ministers are a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why they would give up their time to come back. Mm-hmm. Not like, why do they have them do this? It was more like, why do you come? I hate being here. Why are you here? You don't have to be here, but you're here.
Yeah.
Type of thing. And so that is the connection, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's like this weird assumption that adults, like, oh, they come, they believe this nonsense, but you're a teenager, why do you come? You know? And that's why it's so important. But peer ministry training is an awesome time for them to kind of bond with each other, learn some techniques,
mm-hmm.
team building, group building, leading small groups, large groups, stuff like that.
Yeah.
Is it like a go-away retreat this weekend, or is it?
Yeah, we'll be going to Trinita Retreat Center
in
New Hartford.
Yep.
So it's a little bit of a trek, but it's a nice area. And we'll be coming back. We're leaving Friday night and then coming back Sunday morning.
Cool.
And then Sunday we'll be starting the youth mass at St. Bart's Church.
Yep. Okay.
At 5:00. So kids will have the option of either going to 10:00 mass or going to the 5:00 p.m. mass.
Yeah. So I was at St. Bart's campus of St. Teresa of Calcutta, and Father Marchand actually spoke about the fact that the youth mass was finally coming over to the religious campus.
Right.
Religious education campus.
It's the
only building that's religious.
Yeah.
I don't mean that. That's a joke.
Right.
I just meant like it's the religious ed facility. So that's where confirmation, youth groups, and religious education are in the classrooms at St. Bart's campus. It's just like new terms, you know?
Yeah.
You gotta get used to it. But it's it was time because yeah. it was hard. It was logistically, you know, you'd have the youth mass at St. Bridget campus, and then everyone have to kind of come over for 6:30 classes.
Find time to eat something.
Yeah, and find something to eat in between. So it's great. That's awesome that it's over at St. Bart's now, and Father Marchand seems really excited about it.
Yeah,
the ability to have more youth-oriented music and stuff like that, and trying to tell some of the more senior members of the parish, like, don't be afraid, come check it out for a lively youth spin on our mass. And so that's awesome. Like, I'm kind of excited about that. And I may attend a few times to see what it's about after, you know, my stuff at Sacred Heart or on some of my off weeks with Sacred Heart. So, like, it's just awesome. It's good to see something like that come about. And I was really pumped when they started having a 5 p.m. Mass on Sundays, because it opens another opportunity for people to spend time with Jesus.
And it's easier for teens, too, when they struggle getting up early in the morning for 10 o'clock Mass.
Yeah.
Now it's like, okay, there's no excuse now.
Well, and when they say something along the lines of, well, I had a soccer tournament, I had baseball, I got a band competition, my, you know, debate team was traveling that weekend, we didn't get home till Sunday night. And it's like, okay, here you go.
Right. Another option.
Yeah, and that's what's important, is you want to have those options. It's unfortunately gone are the days where everything is Monday through Friday and you have your weekends, Saturday to do sports or group activities or, you know, other family activities, and Sunday for church. Unfortunately, that's just the world we live in now. We need... Sundays should be for church. I'm not trying to say it shouldn't be. But the world we live in, unfortunately, we have to kind of work around some things a little bit. And this is an opportunity to kind of, like, give people another option, which is really cool. And to have it have a little bit more of a youth spin, maybe have a little acoustic guitar, a little more upbeat music, a little less funeral mass, as I call it. Listen, I love my Catholic hymns.
Right.
I sing along with them all the time. But if we can make it a little more upbeat, if we can make it even just a little taste of what we see at the national youth gatherings, at the mission trips and stuff like that, more power to it, because that's how you grab the youth.
Well, I don't know if you noticed, but at our wedding, Jen and I had to request Jane to play minimum organ, if possible, and do more piano.
Yeah.
And when she was saying, well, how do you want this song to be done, on the organ or on the piano? Go, could you do piano? She goes, ooh, I like it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
it was like a challenge and something different and a little more upbeat. And and we had a guitarist, a violinist, and it felt very upbeat.
Yeah, and it's just simple as that. The hymn can literally be the same hymn.
Yeah.
You can change the tempo, and you can change it from the organ to the piano and have it be totally different. And I think that's huge, really.
Yeah.
But anyway, so awesome. Peer ministry training, youth mass, all that worked in. Great. So speaking of youth,
transition.
Nice. Smooth.
All right, so what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a pen.
Okay.
And paper.
If you're watching this unfold on Facebook Live, it's very exciting.
All right, so I'm going to ask questions, and I'm going to have you write down your answers because we can go over them after. But I want to give anyone the chance that wants to play along at home while they're listening to this, the chance to write their answers down.
Okay.
If you're ready. Pumped. All right. So I actually got a copy of Trivial Pursuit Jr., the edition that I played when I was a kid with my family. So this is a game that's designed for ages 7 to 10, except for it was, like, made in 1992.
This is going to be over my head.
I'm trying to look, but it's, like, the second edition. But it says multiple times, specially designed for children, 7 to 10. But I think it's kind of funny, and I bought it so that I could bring it to youth group, because the questions are going to be super dated. All right, so you ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
What is the only state that is divided into two parts? Again, that is, what is the only state, U.S. state, that is divided into two parts?
My hand's cramping up.
You never write by hand anymore?
Yeah.
I guess that is true. Like, what, you know, is there, there's got to be a thing where your hand kind of like atrophies, where you just never actually write things.
Yeah.
I just always blame it on the fact that I have like horrible arthritis for someone who's only 34 years old. All right. So in the movie Back to the Future, what is Marty's last name?
Okay.
In the movie Back to the Future, what is Marty's last name? I could be a game show host.
You could. Throw on
some Jeopardy.
Poppy jazz music underneath.
Do, do, do. Do, 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 do. Do, 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 do. Do I have to pay royalties for that?
Probably. You know, he is retiring, Alex. Alex Trebek.
Oh, hey. So anyone out
there's
there?
There's your shot, your opportunity.
All right. So the next one. So the categories in this, I don't know what they are, but so we got yellow, purple. Purple was the Back to the Future. Orange. Okay. Here's a word that I can't pronounce.
I got this one.
What is a numismatist? What is a numismatist? So it is spelled N-U-M-I-S-M-A-T-I-S-T. Numismatist. That's as good as it's gonna get.
Yeah.
I gotta stop trying. All right, and the next one, in the blue category, as I pass out from laughing too hard.
You are looking kind of blue right now.
Who brought the Ten Commandments down off the mountain? Who brought the Ten Commandments down off the mountain? If you don't get this one, I'm going to be very upset. You're not allowed to look it up. All right. In the green category, what part of the human body is used to measure a horse's height? As Buster's scratching me. What part of the human body is used to measure a horse's height? You can put down a guess. Do, 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 do. All right. And finally, in the red category, what sport has mushers competing against other mushers? Again, what sport has mushers competing against other mushers?
All right, I think I got my answers.
All right, hold on. And we're back.
We'll do it live.
We'll do it live. All right, so now to reveal the answers. First, I will read the question.
Okay.
And then you will say your answer.
Okay.
All right? What is the only U.S. state that is divided into two parts?
California.
No. No.
Northern California, Southern California. I worked at AAA. I know these things.
Michigan. Because two separate land masses, Michigan. Oh. You got the mitten and then that other, like, little piece got over it. Here.
Well, it's funny. I hear people from Michigan will always show where they're from by pointing to their hand.
Yep. See? But what if they're on the other little piece? Over here. All right. So, second question.
Sure.
What is Marty's last name in the movie Back to the Future?
Hey, McFly!
Yeah! Every time I read this, I almost said, what is Marty McFly's last name? That is correct. How are you guys doing at home? It's okay. I can't hear you.
No.
Unless you actually respond. Email on the Facebook Live. Let me know how you did. And actually, if you could phonetically let me know how to pronounce this next word, I'd appreciate it. here we are. What is a numinimist?
So I took num and cyst and said scientist who studies nerves.
No.
I didn't think so.
So, it's a coin collector. So if you're a person who collects coins, you're a numinimist.
I'll remember that.
All right, we're just going to move on to the next one. Who brought the Ten Commandments down off the mountain?
Moses.
Yeah! Everyone should get that.
Yes.
What part of... what part of the human body is used to measure a horse's height?
Leg?
No, hands.
Oh.
It's so many hands tall.
Got it.
I did not know that.
Thanks, Tom.
All right. So, and then next one. I keep having to turn the card upside down to see the answers. Yeah. Okay. What sport has mushers competing against other mushers?
Sled racing with the husky dogs.
Oh, yeah. Dog sled racing. That's actually dog correct. Sled? Yeah. Woo. Nice. Good job.
Thank you. What was that Disney movie with Cuba Gooding Jr. and the
Snow Dogs? Sled dogs? Snow dogs. Okay. Yeah. Great.
Thank you, Cuba Gooding Jr.
Yeah. So what do you think? You think teenagers will know, like, some of these?
I hope they know the Commandments and Marty McFly.
Yeah.
They might know the coin collector. No.
Does anyone collect coins anymore?
I did. Remember when they did, like, right around the millennium, they started doing those state coins?
Yeah, the one each every 50 state.
I never finished it, but I had a collector's book where you collect, you know, I think it was, like, once a month they'd have, like, a new coin come out. I don't think it was once. No, it wasn't once a year. That would take forever.
Still going.
Right. This is a 50-year collection.
We are 10 states in, people.
But, I had that. It might still have it somewhere.
All right. So, those of you who are just listening to this, this is a whole different tone because we had to take 10 minutes off because of technical issues. But Facebook Live, you've been hanging with us the whole time. So you had a story in music, and then you're going to go into what's new in music.
Sure. So one thing that I like to do, being that I've been involved in Christian radio and have a Christian radio show, is I like to benchmark other radio stations' Facebook pages and just see what people are saying in the comments, what songs are they're reacting to positively, which ones they wish stations would play more. Then I use that to try to make my show better. And I think it was right before the weekend. I was looking at K-Love's. And a bunch of people were saying, wow, you got to play this new song from Avril Lavigne. Avril Lavigne?
Yeah.
K-Love.
So, and how long has it been since you listened to an Avril Lavigne song?
She's been, I'd say like three, four years she hasn't been seen in the public.
Yeah.
So I looked it up. She had just performed on Jimmy Kimmel Live like a couple nights beforehand. This song that she wrote from her experience praying to God. Because apparently the last few years she's been struggling with Lyme disease. And it's kept her from performing. It's kept her from singing. And it's kept her pretty much bedridden for a period of time. And at one point she felt like she was on her deathbed. Her mom was next to her. And she said, my whole thought was I just felt like I was drowning. So she wrote this song, Head Above Water. And the first few lyrics, it starts off really kind of powerful, where it's, you know, just trying to fight, stay alive. And then the chorus line says, God, keep my head above water. And it's just, it turns into this prayer that she was saying in bed. And in an interview, she ended up saying that it was a really, really spiritual awakening for her. Yeah. So there's been a lot of comments on it. I check out SiriusXM's Message on Facebook.
Oh, yeah.
And they were quick to say it's a worship song. I don't know if it's a worship song, but people were saying, oh, this is a great song. Some were a little more critical. And
what would you say the tempo of it is?
So it's a ballad. I feel like it's more of a prayer song than, I don't know. I don't know
what I'd label. Hands to the sky worship.
Right. It's not like a how great is our God, but a please God get me through this. Like, it's okay. Not quite a lament, but it's, you know, a transition song that could transition into a worship song.
Yeah.
You know, but it's really cool if you want to check it out. And I think it's really brave of her to put out a song like that, because when you look at a lot of the Christian artists that are trying to go mainstream and try to sometimes water down the message a little bit, for an artist who's been a pop, you know, staple for several years. Yeah, came up as
like a teenage, you know.
Yeah, angsty rock pop music to all of a sudden release a song and hint that there might be more of these songs coming out.
Well, that's cool.
It's pretty cool, and for her to perform that on TV as well.
Yeah,
it's pretty remarkable.
In kind of in a, you know, time where I feel like more artists are kind of like going the opposite way.
Right.
Like you said, more like sugarcoating it, leaving it up to interpretation.
Right. It could be God. It could be a significant other.
Yeah. Or this seems like a love song.
Right.
Which you should love God, but
Right. Yeah. This looks like something someone wrote for their sweetheart.
But the other part was, we were talking a little bit in our show prep.
Yeah.
Was the people who were kind of like questioning whether it was like a true heart, like true
moment. I was seeing comments where they were tearing her down, and I don't know if she'd read any of the comments, but it was stuff like, she's not a good role model for girls. She's been divorced twice. Other people saying, you know, it's easy to say that you believe in God, but it doesn't mean you're a Christian. And just a bunch of things where, first of all,
that's not really Christian.
Yeah. Right. So, you know, the first reaction when I saw that comment of, she's not a good role model for a girl, she's been divorced twice, I'm thinking, well, wouldn't that be a person God could use and say, you know, I messed up. I've got my share of mistakes.
Yeah.
But, you know, God uses the broken and the screwed up to point to him.
Yeah, and that's just, that's where I start, like, you get the people who are just like, you know, it's like, that's so anti-Christian of a message to try to go after someone and be like, you're not a real Christian. I'm a real Christian.
Right. I'm better. Like,
oh, okay, listen, ego.
Right. So, and, you know, we were talking about hymns earlier, and I was looking up the hymn, Come Thou Fount.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy who wrote that could have been today's Avril Lavigne. Like, just a very loose person who was just out having fun, being reckless, and just being reckless in his lifestyle. And that's why he wrote in the lyric, prone to wander, Lord, I need you.
Yeah.
And no one sings that song today thinking about that writer.
No.
You know, they sing that song and the lyrics relate to them in a personal way, and that's why generations of people have sung it. And I feel if someone like Avril Lavigne or Matt Maher, you know, whoever they may be, writes a song, for a lot of times these artists say, you know, I don't want this song to necessarily be attributed to me. I just want it to have its own life of its own where people can sing it and bring it back to their own life and not think about who wrote it.
Well, that, and think about how many stories there are of, you know, Christian, like, well-known Christian singers who had moments in their younger days, moments in their early music careers where they were trying to become secular, like, rock stars.
Yeah.
And they're living that rock star style life, drinking, drugs, all this stuff. And when they make the change and become Christian and they get sober, they get clean, and they turn their life over to God, and people go, wow, that's a great story. Ah, so proud of you. Yeah. Why is that not the case right now with her? Why are there some, I'm not saying there aren't a bunch of people still doing that, but why would your initial instinct be, this isn't real, she's not a real Christian?
Yeah.
Like, that means, okay, I'm not really sure what pain are you going through? Why are you letting darkness take over your initial reaction?
Yeah.
And trust me, I sometimes my initial reaction is into judgment, and I have to remind myself, nope. Not your job to judge. Mm-hmm. Not your place. Awesome. Good for you. building a relationship with God. I'm glad you want to sing about it.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Like, good for you.
Like, if anything, we should be the ones encouraging her to just keep, you know, growing in the direction that she's going.
Yeah. Well, how about Paul?
Like, instead of making it complicated.
How about the Apostle Paul?
Yeah.
Persecuted Christians. And then he became the most prolific Christian author of the Bible. You know what I mean? Like, people can change through God. You know, the old adage, people don't change, whatever. But God can change us. Mm-hmm. God gets in our heart. Just imagine the stuff we can do. Look at me. I was a terrible human being. I mean, I'm not great. Listen, I'm not perfect, whatever. But the change that God made in my heart, going from not caring if I hurt people to now, like, the openness of my heart and hurting when other people hurt, mm-hmm. and the love that I have for my brothers and sisters in this world, mm-hmm. like, that's real. That's God changed my heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why the story of people coming after her, like, she went through something that brought her closer to God.
Yeah.
And whatever it took to get her there, that's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I've said before, I'm not sure I've said it on the podcast, I say it all the time, where they say everything happens for a reason. And I say God can use everything for a purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And that those two things are together. I get it. But I feel like everything happens for a reason. It's too small. It's too short. Because I think it's too easy to say. But when you can say God can use everything for a purpose. So even the struggle that she went through with Lyme disease, even people who have lost somebody, myself included, that can be used for a purpose. Mm-hmm. And God uses everything for good, regardless of what it is.
Yeah.
So that's Amen. An awesome, awesome story.
Yeah. So if you want to check it out, the song's Head Above Water by Avril Lavigne. The single's been released on iTunes, digital stores, and you can also see it on YouTube as well. So for music releases, coming out tomorrow, highly anticipated for King Country's new album, Burn the Ships. And coming out the following Friday, Toby Mac's new album, The Elements, is coming out as well. And then October 15th, we were talking about this last podcast, Christmas album from Andrew Peterson and Randall Goodgame, A Slugs and Bugs Christmas. And then super excited about this. We got to see a little preview of this at Soulfest this year. October 19th, that's the following Friday, Matt Maher releases his Christmas album, The Advent of Christmas.
Awesome.
And then 10th Avenue North, same weekend. This is a good release for music. On October 19th, 10th Avenue North is releasing an EP called The Things We've Been Afraid to Say. Ooh. And these are songs. It's an EP. It's just like maybe six songs. But they're on topics that they've been afraid to approach over the years. And then they're just like, you know what? We're just going to try it. It's topics that need to be discussed. And the topics include marriage, lust, pornography, political outrage, and sexual assault, and more.
That's awesome.
So it's kind of the weird taboos that have been in existence for the last few years, but people are finding that it's increasingly important to talk about.
And it's the stuff, as you know, as like a confirmation teacher, as a religious ed teacher, as a confirmation director, it's really hard stuff to approach, but you gotta do it because whether or not you want to agree with it or not, whether or not you want to believe that it's happening, kids are being exposed to all of those things younger and younger.
Yeah.
And so if you just try to, you know, hide your head in the sand, that's not the right way to approach it. You got to find the right way to do it and the right way to approach it. And as a confirmation teacher and a confirmation director, I try to be as transparent with our parents as possible that we're going to talk about heavy stuff. And so that they don't, you know, get taken back.
Kids don't come home and say,
we talked about
sex.
Yeah.
What?
So it's one of those things where you do need to approach it in the right way. And I'm sure that this album is going to be that, you know? That's awesome. It's definitely something that should happen.
And they did, the lead singer also mentioned, I was watching a video before the
before the pornography.
Before the podcast. where he was saying, you know, he was looking at the industry of contemporary Christian music, and he said there's three different kinds of songs. There's the worship songs, there's the Thanksgiving songs, and there's the laments. And he said, we found that there are just not a lot of lament songs. And for people who aren't familiar with laments, those are songs where you're wrestling a lot with your faith and with God, and just trying to make sense of everything. So he said, we've written a couple, but he said not as many as we'd like to. So this was more of an attempt to kind of bring more of those into the industry.
And that also means that it's probably God putting on his heart, like, hey,
I need
you guys to talk more about this stuff right here. You know, my children are hurting.
Right.
Let's talk about it.
Yeah.
You know? Like, if you think about it, normally the stuff that kind of, like, tugs on you and sits in your stomach and in your chest, and you just keep thinking about it, like, and it's nagging at you.
Yeah.
Like, it's probably God going, hey, we should probably talk about this. Yeah. All right. So, ready to get into the digital bibble?
Yes. Let's swipe along.
All right. So, this is the gospel of Luke 10, 1 through 12. Jesus appointed 72 other disciples, whom he sent ahead of him in pairs to every town and place he intended to visit. He said to them, "The harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. So ask the master of the harvest to send out laborers for his harvest. Go on your way. Behold, I am sending you like lambs among wolves. Carry no money bag, no sack, no sandals, and greet no one along the way. Into whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this household.' If a peaceful person lives there, your peace will rest on him. If not, it will return to you. Stay in the same house and eat and drink what is offered to you, for the laborer deserves his payment. Do not move from one house to another. Whatever town you enter, and they welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick in it, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God is at hand for you.' Whatever town you enter, and they do not receive you, go out into the streets and say, 'The dust of your town that clings to our feet, even that we shake off against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God is at hand. I tell you, it would be more tolerable for Sodom on that day than for that town." The gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
So,
I remember us reading that.
Yeah.
In the previous podcast.
Yeah. And it's just awesome. It's just it shows a lot of things. Sacramentally, it shows that God bestowed the ability for our priests to heal the sick, to take on that power of God. And also just it's talking about that, you know, God is the master of the harvest.
Yeah.
And he sent out his laborers out there.
Yeah.
And
it pretty much says straightforward that it's not going to be easy. He says the harvest is abundant, but the laborers are few. And I am sending you like lambs among wolves.
Yeah, and it's basically like he's saying don't take anything with you.
Yeah.
It's important to him that you don't take anything with you.
Yeah.
And the other part that really sticks out to me is, of course, the thought that the dust that clings to your feet, even that I shake off against you. Like, I don't want any part of this town because you did not welcome me into it.
Yeah.
And that's like, wow. You know, like, it's just unbelievable. But the other part where it's like, if you labor for me, you will have your reward.
Mm-hmm.
And those who welcome you will have your peace will stay there. My peace will stay there. And it's just it's straightforward. It's, you know, those who believe in me, those who welcome me, those who welcome you basically welcome me type of thing, mm-hmm. you know? And so that's awesome. It's it's pretty straightforward. And it goes right along with our saint of the day, Saint Francis of Assisi. He realized pretty young in Assisi that he needed to follow Christ as to be a Christian, he needed to be more Christ-like. Mm. And he gave up all that he had. Even at one point, his father wanted reimbursement for how much he had given to the poor. And so Francis laid down all of his clothes in front of his father and left. Mm. And began begging. And people looked down upon him. His former friends looked down upon him. And thought he was like a religious fanatic. Thought that he had gone crazy. And so just think about the people who are looked down upon because they find Christ. Mm-hmm. We were talking about it earlier. And now, how many people, just when they see that you have found the goodness of God, try to steer you away from that? Our good friend Sean Forrest has shared about when he was a bar singer doing covers and how everyone cheered him on. But then when he was like, ah, God put this on my heart, I want to sing a little bit about God, they were like, are you okay?
Yeah,
that was so getting drunk, getting everyone to to drink at a bar, all that, you're fine. Mm-hmm. But the second you're like, hey, I want to sing to you about Jesus. Hey, man,
yeah,
are you okay? Yeah, I think you're making a really bad decision here. I think we need to talk. Like, what? But that, and so with St. Francis of Assisi, that was what was happening, is he truly found that he needed to be more Christ-like, strip down everything, live with nothing. He begged for money to support his work for the poor. He begged for money to give it away. He did day labor, stuff like that, to give to the poor. He dedicated his life to the poor. God told him to build his church, and he says that did not mean with bricks.
Yeah.
That meant with people, to build his church through the poor. And so he dedicated his life to that. Amen. So there's a lot more. There's tons more. Yeah. So many more stories. So many more things that he did. The blessing of the animals is this weekend, actually. And that's in First St. Francis of Assisi. But yeah, so many stories, so many things. But yeah, news of the weird.
News of the weird. So this story comes from beautiful Tucson, Arizona, where I have family. And, you know, everyone has those fun celebrations they like to do on social media. They'll have the promposal, they'll have the really clever marriage proposal, and then they have the gender reveal parties.
Uh-huh, yeah.
This one was a gender reveal party involving an off-duty Border Patrol agent who was about to find out the gender of his upcoming baby. And so he ended up shooting his gun at this target, and when he hits it, it was supposed to explode with blue dust or pink dust. He ended up igniting because the powder was flammable. He actually started a 40,000-acre wildfire.
What?
So he's come forward and said it was me. And so now he has to pay more than $8 million in restitution, starting with a $100,000 initial payment and monthly payments thereafter. I have no idea how he's going to come up with that money.
He's a Border Patrol officer.
Right.
So I'm going to need to make a $200 a month payment for the next $1 million.
And I have
months.
A baby on the way.
Yeah.
So you know, for every day of that baby's life, the mom is just going to go, your dad. You know what he did?
$8 million. That's just not thinking clearly if you're going to shoot something that's flammable like that in an area that could start a forest fire. Yeah. But wow, 47,000 acres.
He also said he agreed to a sentence of 5 years of probation and will make a public service announcement with the Forest Service about the cause of the blaze.
Does it say whether he lost his job or not?
No, but it says the gender of the baby has not been revealed. So I don't know if they found out or if he just withholding that information. But just after all that, and then all of a sudden,
but that music means it's time to wrap up the podcast. Let me know how you did in the trivia if you want to see that continue. The music's getting really loud. But as always, thank you so much for listening. Shoot me a line, Facebook, the video, Instagram, message me, steve@baconsmiles.org. Thanks for listening. You got anything?
Yeah, God bless. That's been great.
Keep smiling.
Go Red Sox.
Go Yankees. Keep smiling. God bless.